Welcome to Adventures in Artslandia. I'm Susanna Mars, and today I welcome Deaf Poetry Jam alumnus Dilok Breathwaite, who has created and will be performing Spirit Trials, presented by Boom Arts and performed at Disjecta Contemporary Art Center on Interstate Avenue in Portland, April 21st and the 22nd, and April 27th through the 30th. You can find more information about it and tickets at boomarts.org. So I've got Dilok here as well as Ruth Wickler-Luker from Boom Arts. And I want to thank you for taking the time to talk to me today.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, it's a real pleasure. I've so enjoyed watching your work online, and Ruth introduced me to what you do. And I also looked at your website, thisisdilok.com. And your work is so thought-provoking and accessible and wonderful to watch. And I was so interested to hear you mention the words truth, goodness, and positivity as guiding lights in your personal and the process of your craft. Can you kind of touch on how those words motivate, inspire you?
Yeah, I think especially truth, I think, as maybe abstract and far-reaching, optimistic of a concept that might be, is something that I still strive for. Somewhat of a northern star for me in terms of how I want to develop myself and how I want to develop the things that I create. And I think that's always the power of art, when we feel like somebody says something or has stumbled upon something or is able to skew something or turn something to make us say, that's right. You know, that's, They hit that right on the head. That's something I always felt. That's something I always felt but wasn't able to articulate. That touches on something deeper that we're all experiencing in this life. And I have this deep belief in what I call codes of the universe. And they're just these forces at work that allow us to navigate through the world and allow people to navigate through the world better. I want to believe that if I could access some of these codes, that I might be able to move through with some more peace, with some more gratitude, with some more acceptance. And I hope that my work generates thoughts, generates perspectives that allow people to also move through the world in ways that they hope to.
How do you nurture these kind of qualities in yourself, you know, especially right now when our political situation seems to be kind of veering toward things that aren't quite as good and positive?
Yeah, I hear you. It's a tough time right now, I can't lie. I always felt that my artistic development went hand in hand with my personal development. And so as I am, my quest for truth was inspired by others who were able to articulate it, were able to draw it or speak on it, write about it. My quest for goodness with people who are able to think about morality, think about the ways that one should be. So in seeking to just be a better artist, I've continued to study what makes me feel something, what makes me inspired, what moves me, and in a sort of way emulate that. So taking on things that hit me as, that struck me as true, that struck me as right, that struck me as good directions and good paths for me to be on as a human being, one, it sets me on the path towards developing that. And then also, as I try to stumble on what is true, what is good, what is positive, it also forces me to think a lot and really look deep and search within myself in order to be able to articulate it for others. And it's not just knowing it. I think it's a kind of deeper quest as I'm gearing up to get this prepared for something else that somebody else could can instantly absorb and pretty quickly be transformed by. And so I think that is really it's the challenge in my art in order to digest and process certain truths of wisdom or knowledge in a way that I could almost regurgitate in a way that that could be instantly absorbed. And so I think in my quest for that, you know, it takes a lot of introspection, it takes a lot of reflection, takes a lot of self-critique and sort of high standards upon how I live my life and what I'm trying to do and what I'm striving for. And so I think through all of these processes, I feel like I've become a better person, although I have so far to go.
Don't we all?
Like it's, you know, but I know, I guess I have an understanding of where I started from. And so I think I continue to develop, and I feel like when I hit certain markers as an artist, when I feel like proud of myself, I know it comes from a real place where I've incorporated the practices that I wish to extol or expel, and I've incorporated them as life practices.
It's really interesting because what I kind of hear you saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, and you know, you're one of the modalities that you use is a spoken word, and yet what you're really aiming for as a human and in what you're aiming to give your audience is something that's kind of wordless almost. And the fact that you're using, you know, rap and song and storytelling, I'm thinking about like, you know, vibrational frequency of human contact and connection.
Yeah. Mm.
And it's like almost like a paradox, right? That you use words so beautifully, and yet like you're really looking to go beyond the intellectual.
Yeah, I would say with music, I feel like at least it has been my spoken word is it could be somewhat heady in a way. You know, I always have a whenever I'm writing a spoken word piece, I feel like I have a perspective that, you know, I feel like I had a revelation, and then I want to share the revelation. And that's the only reason I ever kind of write a spoken word piece. And then the whole point of the poem is to bring you from one side, to meet you where you at, and almost bring you where this thought or this perspective or this revelation brought me. And I feel what I'm trying to do and what I try to attempt with my music is create the emotional circumstances and environment and climate to make you want to take that journey. And so I think that's probably the humor and the comic aspect that I use in my spoken word as well, to provide the sort of climate that that I think loosens you up for the journey, that loosens you up for the path, that makes one open to it. I feel, you know, there's we could read something or we could see something at a certain time of our lives, and it just never hits us. And no matter how many people like it or how good it is. And then we'll read it 10 years later or 15 years later, and we'll see it. We're open to it. We received it. And as a performing artist, you know, I only have so much time. You know, what I do is very fleeting, and people might only see me once or see this once. So what I try to do is try to control as many factors as I can to provide the base and the foundation for one to be able to step in, to be open, to receive it, and then to have something for them to chew upon once they're in that space.
Mm. And it's co-directed by Mark Bamuthi Joseph and Sean San Jose, with projections
yes.
by Joan Oseto. And how did you guys come to that collaboration?
I met Mark Bamuthi Joseph and Joan Oseto through an organization called You Speaks. Joan Oseto is also the producing director of the play.
Mm.
And I met both of them when I was 18 years old. You Speaks is probably, I'm pretty sure, the nation's largest literary arts nonprofit organization, and they create programs and events that's really geared around engaging youth from 13 to 19 in literary arts and literacy through spoken word and hip hop. And one of the ways they do this is by hosting slams for Bay Area youth and having a pretty big slam competition every year. And when I was 18, I participated in this slam competition, and I won. I went on to a festival that they also created called Brave New Voices, which was seen on HBO as well. And I took place in that competition as well. And through that, because Mark Bamuthi Joseph was one of the founders of You Speaks, Bamuthi began to take me under his wing and mentor me. Bamuthi was just beginning his career in the performing arts and theatrical world, and has been since rising in this medium and becoming, I think, a very impactful performing artist. And so it was a real treat and a real blessing to be able to watch that whole evolution and to be under his wing and to take advice and guidance from him.
So
I experienced his work, I was like, that's what I want to do.
So Dalek, you were part of Word Becomes Flesh, right?
What'd you say?
You were part of Word Becomes Flesh?
Yes, I was. He was doing that as a solo play when I first met him. And about 5 years later, he was commissioned by the National Performance Network to remount it as a five-person ensemble piece. And I was one of the ensemble members, along with Davi Dix, who played Thomas Jefferson in Hamilton, mm-hmm. in the Broadway play. So, you know, this is a kind of community of you're really special artists. I feel like You mm-hmm. Speaks was a very special organization to me, and it led me to, you know, working with and knowing some really amazing colleagues and peers, and one of them, of course, being Bamuthi, who's really been instrumental in my artistic development.
So the show you're doing here in Portland is titled Spirit Trials, and it's
yes.
based on your personal experience of attending a court-mandated rehab program after you were arrested. Can you
yes.
tell us a little bit about the show?
Yeah. Well, that was a good and concise summary. I guess what I could say is that it's narrated through spoken words, and through my poetic reflections on that experience, and scored by hip hop music, of which my DJ and I, DJ Dion Decibels, perform and recreate live. The score comes from a hip hop album of the same name, Spiritual, that I created to be a soundtrack to complement this play. And so the score, as I said, kind of takes us through the emotional journey of the experience and serves as transitions and beds for sometimes the emotional reflections and sometimes the narrative spoken word that takes us through this experience and this journey. And also through that narrative, I also explain and experience a few characters through the program that are somewhat reflections of myself and fictional manifestations of my of a sort of questions that continue to come up as I'm trying to get through this. And these characters kind of speak back to me in regular, traditional, dramatic monologues. And they're both enlightening, threatening, and sometimes very heartfelt and light. And it's through these characters that I begin to understand my own place, as I describe it in what appears to be a rite of passage as a young Black male through this criminal justice system.
Well, I was thinking about the term racial profiling and how it's really becoming a part of my vocabulary, unfortunately, right now. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking about a lot for myself. You know, I want to believe in the idea of justice for all. And I wonder, you know, if you, I just would wonder if you share any ideas that you have or in ways that we can help unwind the system that's been put into place, like ways to stand for justice right now.
Well, I mean, I've become a big, big proponent of reparations in general. And I really have gained that and got that through just understanding history and understanding the context that really have brought us here. And it's tough to really explain without really contextualizing all the history. And I think for anybody who's interested in learning how they could be on the side of justice and have stances that align with true justice is to really get a good historical context, mm-hmm, on where, just speaking for African Americans, but where this country went to and how this country reacted in the light of slavery and how that transformed and went into Jim Crow, and how that descended and evolved into the prison industrial complex as we know it shortly after, going from the 60s into President Nixon, and how and why these tools have consistently been used in order to satisfy a populist agenda, a quote-unquote working man's agenda, and to pit certain races against each other for economical purposes. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I would really recommend that for everybody, because right now it's actually exactly what's happening. Mm-hmm. And it's the exact language of law and order, of these people are stealing jobs, these people are criminals, and the hatred that's generated.
Fear.
Towards certain vulnerable classes. Mm-hmm. In order to satisfy the lower and middle class white agenda, while still protecting and keeping invisible the true powers that are really agents of chaos in all of our lives. And they've been shielded. They've been shielded for so long. You know, I just heard that, you know, 8 people have 50% of the wealth in the world, you know, and that's just, it's really mind blowing, but it's really, you know, there's really a true structure that's happening above us. And from below, they're really guiding a kind of war and chaos between vulnerable classes. And there are even winners and losers in this war below. And Black people, people of color, have suffered in subtle and nuanced ways in order to kind of ease another mass
and maintain this
way. Would be equally powerful.
Mm-hmm. The movie 13th really enlightened me quite a lot, directed by Ava DuVernay, and I recommend that to anyone who wants to kind of dive into some of these issues, and it will pretty much blow your mind.
Yeah, 100%. And The New Jim Crow, which I think really served, Michelle Alexander's book, The New Jim Crow, mm-hmm. really served as the, you know, I started reading it when I began to create this piece, and I read it without knowing how much of a phenomenon it would be and what kind of ripple it would have throughout the nation, really, and throughout the national discourse. And that being coupled with the recent filmings of police murders or police shooting Black people and unarmed Black men, that all came together at a certain time where I was creating this piece, and it was actually through this context that I was able to at least contribute to this national discourse. So I really recommend that book as well, The New Jim Crow by Michelle Alexander, to really get us a firm grasp of not just watching Black men being murdered by the police and feel like it shouldn't happen, but actually know why it's happening, actually start blaming the right people, mm-hmm. and redirecting our anger.
Mm-hmm. Ruth has a question for you.
Yeah, I wanted to, you do two very beautiful things in the two shows we're presenting. So we're presenting Spirit Trials as an evening performance. And then we're also asking you to do one performance of your family-friendly piece called Adapting History, Hip-Hop History for Kids. And this kind of historical awareness is something that is really key to that piece. And I love how you create a narrative in that piece about the history of music in America and the same history that you just were speaking about in a way that kids can understand, and so that they don't just see hip hop music right now as being so, you know, historically isolated or decontextualized. And can you talk a little bit about what you're going for in that show, and also what you hope kids from all backgrounds might be able to get out of it here in Portland?
Yeah. I think that is one of the ways that I begin to contextualize America for myself and for others. And the way, instead of kind of describing the history as I just did, I use music and also the music of my album, the soundtrack, Spirit Trials, in order to really bring it back and bring the music, bring American music back to its roots. That was always my goal in beginning to work on Spirit Trials. The album comes from nothing but what I call God music. I sampled God music, so spirituals, early gospel, and transformed them into hip hop music. And so, I did this because I was interested in the culture I come from, hip hop and Black culture. I was interested how that music, or how music in general, has always been in conversation with our relation to freedom and bondage and government surveillance and control. And so I wanted to use the music that was brought out of the first and the ugliest initial form of bondage, which was slavery, and how those songs, work songs, provided the roots for all of American music, and how it continued to morph into what we see as spirituals, gospel, blues, jazz, and then how all of these things and all of the tropes and the expressions of these certain genres, you could find them in our hip hop music. I never had this realization or understanding when I was engaging in hip hop as a youth. I just thought this was, you know, the ugly music that the parents don't like, that ain't real music, that's just not as good as what they used to do, blah, blah, blah. But, and, you know, having this history and this knowledge, also, one, helps to contextualize the culture in a certain way that gives us strength in terms of what we do. It also adds a new consciousness into what we do in terms of the historical presence around some of our art forms, and even hip hop, how that also fits along this historical lineage. And then also, I think the biggest thing that I'm trying to get kids to walk away with is this ideal of adapting.
You have a beautiful line in there.
Yes, and that the whole ideal is that all of these art forms adapted from one another, and through my album, I adapted all this music that you hear here. And I start the show with, sometimes when I feel I can't be myself, I must adapt. And so as I continue to go through this music, I'm speaking about the ways that the music has adapted, but also how the people have adapted in order to make this music, and also to find freedom through this music. And I believe in Spirit Trials, I think the ways that corresponds is that you're watching me attempt to adapt through this system, through this journey, and trying to, you're watching the process of adaptation as in through my personal experience. And so, I try to simplify that concept as much as possible of how one can adapt.
That's an incredible thing to leave young people with, and all people really, to be able to digest information and then use it for good in your own life, to be able to survive painful things, because life is painful. That's a given.
Yes.
I'm so excited to see your piece. It's just really wonderful that you're coming to Portland. And so I want to remind everybody that Spirit Trials, created by Dilok Breathwaite, presented by Boom Arts, and performed at Disjecta Contemporary Art Center at 8371 North Interstate Avenue in Portland, April 21st and 22nd, and April 27th through the 30th, and also the kid-friendly Hip Hop History for Kids in a one-time matinee performance on April 23rd, which I think I really want to come and see that as well, because it sounds incredible. Age recommendation is 7 and up. And it's for the tickets for Spirit Trials, $20 for general admission, $12 for students. And Hip Hop History for Kids on April 23rd is a special ticket price of $8 for 17 and under with a parent or guardian. And thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today. I really wish you all best with your work and much happiness today and every day.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
really
pleasure.
Appreciate these questions and this conversation.
Yeah, look forward to I know by watching you, it'll just be a continuance of it.
Wonderful.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Susanna.
All right.
Take care. Bye. Bye.